Hello, friend. Welcome back to Learning English Through the Bible. In the first half of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, we read about the three miracles of love done by our Lord Jesus. Now, let's continue at John chapter 6, verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" At this point, you must have noticed that the crowd was quite smart in figuring out where Jesus went. They were quick to realize that Jesus must have walked on the water to the other side of the sea. They were ready to believe in the supernatural power of Jesus. So they went after him and found Jesus in Capernaum. They called Jesus Rabbi, that is a Hebrew word meaning teacher. They flattered Jesus with a question, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now you certainly wonder how quickly the crowd changed their opinions about Jesus. They followed him because he healed many among them who were sick. They wanted to force him to be their king after he had fed the thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They went after him over the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, believing that Jesus has supernatural power. However, after Jesus directed them away from their physical needs to the way of eternal life, they immediately started doubting him. They demanded for a miraculous sign from Jesus. Didn't Jesus give them such a sign from heaven already, feeding thousands of them with 5 loaves and 2 fish? What were they asking for? Here we encounter a new word, manna. It is the transliteration of a Hebrew phrase, "What is this?" Thousands of years ago, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They cried to the Lord their God for help. So the Lord sent his servant Moses to lead them out of Egypt. When wandering in the desert without food, the Lord rained down little white grain-like round things all over their camps. When they first saw those little white things on the ground, they asked one another, "Manna? What is this?" Moses told them it was food that the Lord gave them. For 40 years, the Israelites ate manna on their way from their slavery to freedom. They did not have to labor for their food at all. Unfortunately, many of those manna eaters did not believe in the Lord's love for them. They did not love their God by obeying him and loving one another. Therefore, they didn't enter their land of freedom, which God promised. But instead, they all died in the desert in their sins of disbelief. Now the crowd was all fed by the loving hands of Jesus. However, their hearts were not filled with thanks, but with cravings for more. Let's continue our reading and see how Jesus patiently taught them. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Hearing Jesus' words, some of the crowd understood and took to their hearts that Jesus, the Son of Man, is the bread of life. Whoever comes to Jesus shall never be hungry or thirsty. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Even those who die physically will be raised up and enter the eternal kingdom of God at the last day. However, Jesus' teaching greatly disturbed the religious leaders of Israel. In John chapter 6, verse 41, the Bible says, "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven?'" Here we see a clear illustration of the unbelieving hearts of those Jews. Their reasoning was limited within what they saw with their physical eyes. They refused to listen to the Father and come to the Son. They valued the manna their ancestors ate in the desert, but rejected the lesson God taught them. That many manna eaters died in their sins of disbelief. Oh, how the Lord Jesus longed to open their minds' eyes. He plainly told them that he came down from heaven. The Word became flesh. His flesh is the living bread. He will give his flesh, his physical life, for us to receive eternal life by believing in him. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." What does Jesus mean by saying, "Eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood"? We know the Son of Man is Jesus himself, but what does his flesh represent? How about his blood? Even his disciples had difficulty understanding him. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." Dear friend, do you have a clear picture of what Jesus means now? The flesh of a man is what expresses his being, his words, his gestures, and his actions. The blood in a man's body enables him to be living. It supplies life's nutrients, and it cleanses out the body's refuse. For me to eat the flesh of Jesus is to take his being into my own. To drink the blood of Jesus is to let his words supply and cleanse my life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Hearing what Jesus said, many who followed him went away. And then the Bible says, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Dear friend, have you noticed that at least two of the 12 disciples actually understood Jesus at the time? One is Simon Peter, the other is Judas the Iscariot. Dear friend, do you understand Jesus? To whom do you go? May our good Lord keep you and bless you. Bye-bye.